All right, let's get our Bibles and turn to the book of Judges. The book of Judges in chapter number 15. And we will be preaching the entire chapter today. Again, it's a narrative, so it will go fairly quickly. You'll see the title of the message today is Vengeance Pleases Him Well. As I was sitting and looking at the PowerPoint presentation, I was thinking, boy, what a title for a message to have sitting in front of people and people thinking, vengeance pleases him well. I wonder what your thoughts are about that as you look at it, but hopefully it'll make sense to you as we go through. And so let's read Judges 15. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing of the corn of the Philistines and burn up the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he hath taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Just let me stop there for just a second. In my reading of the Old Testament, the city Timnath comes up back in the book of Genesis. And so, anyway, that's interesting. So, because I'm preaching here, the city Timnath, you know, comes to mind. As I'm doing my daily Bible reading. But anyway, in verse 7, and Samson said unto them, though you have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock of Etam. So we'll stop reading right there, and then we'll go through the rest of it as we go through the message today. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you today, we come to you thanking you that we have this opportunity to gather together and worship you. God, we're thankful that you are worthy of our worship. We know you. We have seen what you have done. Your word has proven your faithfulness to us. So we're thankful, God, that as we're gathering here today, that we can worship you because we love you. You have redeemed us from our sins. You have reconciled us unto yourself. You have given us your Holy Spirit, quickened us, made us alive. We could think of so many reasons why we should love you. Given us hope that there is a life to come. Given us confidence that you are working in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So many reasons. So as we are gathered here today and I open your word, I pray, God, that you will enable me to speak faithfully to your people. God, this is your word. It tells us who you are. It tells us what you are doing in this world. And I pray, Lord, that you will help me to speak faithfully according to this truth. And God, I pray for your people that they would be able to hear clearly. God, in life, sometimes there are so many things that capture our attention. There are the thoughts and cares of this world that might take our minds away from the Word. God, we know Satan attempts to close the ears so that people cannot hear. So God, I pray today for your people that they will hear clearly. God, that I will speak faithfully, and Lord, that they will hear clearly. But God, I pray most importantly that your Son Jesus Christ will be magnified and glorified through what we are doing here today. Thank you, God, that we have reason to be here, and we're worshiping you today in the truth. We thank you for that truth. It is in the name of your Son Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So the title of the message, Vengeance Pleases Him Well. And so last week we began the thought about the children of Israel and how that everyone is doing what is right in their own mind. And we began by looking at Samson choosing a wife of the Philistines because she pleased him well. And we find out as we look through that message that that decision didn't work out for him too good. Doing something based upon what pleased him, it didn't work out for him too good. He ended up being deceived by that wife. Today we're going to see Samson doing the same thing. He's making a decision based upon the flesh. He's not considering whether this action will please the Lord or not. But he's making a decision based upon his flesh. And so today we're going to see that what pleases Samson well is vengeance. We want to remember this, that vengeance is to be the Lord's. But here Samson takes matters into his own hands. Samson is to be the deliverer of Israel, yet the only one that Samson is worried about is himself. He's only worried about delivering himself. Really, he's not concerned about delivering at all. He's only concerned about avenging. What we will see today is that God's purpose is to be faithful to his people. And because God is faithful to his people, his purpose is to bring Jesus Christ into this world through the seed of Abraham. And God's going to be faithful to that purpose. And sometimes he uses the sinful acts of men to accomplish his purposes. But as we have looked through this entire study, we see that God is faithful. He is going to perform his purpose. God is faithful to his people. And we need to be encouraged by that as we see God bringing about his purpose of providing a Messiah to redeem his people. So we begin by looking at verses 1 and 2. And we read how that, and the first place we want to look at today is that Samson seeks the one who pleases him. Samson seeks the one who pleases him. So we find here, it says, but after a period of time, it was in the time of the wheat harvest that fit to go in under her. Again, Samson seeking that one who had pleased him in the last chapter. But we find out that this is really a relationship of convenience. Samson's really not interested in this lady from Timnath. He's only interested in what she can provide for him. He don't really care about her. He cares about what she can do for him. He is not committed to his wife. The only thing that Samson is concerned about is satisfying his own flesh. And we think about that, we know that God ordained marriage. God ordained that a man and a woman are to come together and they too are to become one flesh. And that God provided the way for the man not to be alone. And that was for him to have a wife. And that God had given a gift to Adam. And Eve was God's gift to Adam. And so God had provided this relationship, and a man and a woman are to come together. It's in God's plan for a man and a woman to come together and for them to be one flesh. And God has given us some instruction about that relationship. And Samson is not following that relationship. In the book of 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 7, I'm not going to turn there, I'm just going to use one part of that. But one of the things it tells us in 1 Peter 3, 7 is that the husband is to honor the wife. Now there's a lot of people that don't think about that today. They don't think about how the husband is to honor the wife. They don't think about the wife's responsibility to in the relationship. They really don't think about, I'm a husband, how can I honor God by being a husband? Or, I'm a wife, how can I honor God by being a wife? Folks don't normally think about that, but if you want to have a good and healthy relationship, it is something that you should consider. Dwell with her and honor her, it tells us. John Gill, speaking on 1 Peter 3, 7, says, by speaking well of her and respectfully to her, and by deeds as well as words, by providing everything honest and comely for her, food and raiment, a suitable maintenance, all the necessaries, conveniences, and delights of life that are laudable and proper, in which sense the word honor. Husband, you have a responsibility to honor your wife. And to me, to honor your wife means that you see her as a gift from God, not as an object. And sometimes men view their wives as objects. What we're going to see from this, Samson's not concerned about his wife. He wants a relationship of convenience. And we're going to see that the way Samson treated his wife impacted his life. Do you hear that, husbands? The way you treat your wife will impact your life. The problem that he's going to face in this chapter are going to arise because he did not honor his wife as he should. This goes for all of us. How many problems do we face in life because we do not honor our spouse as we should? We do not treat our spouse as we should. Samson's going to face serious trouble because he does not honor his wife. So, what do we find out? Samson comes down, he wants to, notice, go into his wife. You know what he wants. He wants to satisfy the flesh. Samson goes and seeks his wife, but his wife's dad had given her to another man. You know, it's not possible for us as we study this to recognize whether this woman was only a spouse to Samson. In other words, she had been chosen for her to be his wife. You know, they went through, the marriage ceremony was 7 days long in this time, and they had gone through the 7 days, but we don't know for sure whether they had consummated the marriage or not. It seems to me, as we read chapter number 14, that the marriage wasn't consummated. It wasn't complete. Nevertheless, Samson feels like he has been wronged. Samson will not take her sister that the father offers to her. And so Samson is angry. And we read in verses 3 through 5 what Samson chooses to do. Samson seeks the way which pleases him. And what is the way that pleases him? When he feels like he has been wronged. Now, again, we're not saying that he has been wronged. We're saying that he feels like he's been wronged. And what does he want to do when he feels like he's been wronged? The way that pleases him is revenge. And so he goes and he catches these 300 foxes. And if there's any difficulty to you thinking about whether it's a fox or not, the Hebrew Bible says this could be what we would know as a jackal. And they say that jackals run in large groups. Nevertheless, he caught 300 wild animals. And he tied their tails together and put a torch in between them and let them loose in the wheat fields. I don't know about you all, but I think that probably takes some skill and some strength to be able to do that. And so as I thought about this passage, I thought about the strength which Samson possesses. How could he catch these 300 wild animals and set their tails on fire? When did he recognize his strength? When did he recognize that he had supernatural, you might say, ability? Like last week, we learned how he captured and killed a lion with his bare hands. Samson's a strong man, but when did he recognize his strength? Did he know that he possessed that strength before he faced the lion? Or did he not recognize that he had that strength until his strength was tested? Until he needed it, and all of a sudden that strength was there. As I thought about that this week, I thought about how often that is the case for us. That we don't understand the power of God working in us until our strength is tested. Until we need to rely upon the strength of God. Until we need to rely upon the power of God. How strong is our faith? Sometimes we don't know how strong our faith is until our faith is tested. Then we find out that we're able to walk by faith. We're able to overcome in this situation. You know, that's a good lesson for us also as parents. That sometimes we need to allow our children's strength to be tested. Insulating our children from the difficulties of life hinders their faith. If we protect them from everything, they won't learn how to walk by faith. They won't learn that I can trust God. They might not even learn that I need to trust in God. Insulating them from the affairs of life sometimes hinders their life. I think about people sometimes, about how they have protected their children, and they want to keep their children so close, and they want to do everything for their children. And then I think, what's going to happen to those children when the parent is gone? If they've not allowed that child to grow and prosper and go out on their own, what's going to happen when that parent is gone? How's that child going to function? And so Samson's strength had to be tested. And it was during the testing of his strength that he found out just how strong and powerful that he is. It was interesting to me also as I studied this passage how that Samson chose to seek revenge not on his wife or not on the father of his wife, but he sought revenge on the Philistines. But he's seeking revenge. What does the Bible tell us about revenge? Well, the Bible tells us that vengeance is the Lord's. Samson should not have been seeking revenge. That was not his place to seek revenge. Psalm 94 and verse number 1 says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, showeth thyself. Vengeance is the Lord. Vengeance is not ours to seek. Seeking revenge, if you study it through the scripture, you'll see that seeking revenge proves dangerous when sought out. In Genesis chapter number 40 and verse 30, listen to this. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land. And so when Simeon and Levi killed all the people of Shechem, all the men of Shechem, the prince of the land had slept with Dinah, their brother, or their sister. They sought revenge, and Jacob said, you've made me to stink. What happens when revenge is sought? Well, I'm going to seek revenge on that one. And what the one you're seeking revenge on, what's he do many times? Well, he seeks revenge back on you. And then what happens? This one seeks revenge back on that way. It's a never-ending cycle, and we're going to see that never-ending cycle. We have to especially guard against this in our world today because of social media. Social media is a horrible place for this to take place. Social media. People will fight their battles on social media. And they'll say things sitting at a computer screen that they never say to someone's face. And there's a thing called subtweeting, where you will tweet about something that someone else has tweeted. And I know to some of you all, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but those of you who know, you know why this is an issue. And so these battles are fought on social media. Listen, Proverbs 26:20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tale bearer, the strife ceases. People tell me, oh, Facebook is so bad, it's so horrible, I just fight on there all the time. You know what? Facebook don't bother me at all. You know why? Because I don't communicate with anybody on there. I never post about somebody else on Facebook. You know why? That only causes strife. That only causes trouble. I wouldn't do that to naturally, and so I'm not going to do it on Facebook. Here's the trouble. Seeking to get back at someone, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on Instagram, or any of those other things. It is damaging our society. And think about the news broadcast. Even the news broadcasts are going about this, right? Think about our government. Listen, all that is in government. This one trying to get back at this one, and this one trying to get back at this one. Our government really is not even concerned anymore about what's best for the United States of America. It's what's best for me, and what, in other words, what I believe and you're wrong, and what I believe and you're wrong. This constant battle. We're divided in our culture, and it's damaging our culture. So we need to think about being careful about the places where we might seek revenge. You think on social media that you're going to solve a problem, but really all you're doing is creating them. Keep in mind, when you are seeking revenge or self-justification, sometimes what people are trying to do on social media are justify their own position, justify themselves. Well, I did this because. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Samson's seeking the way that pleases him, and it is the way of revenge. And so what happens? Samson sends out them 300 foxes, and they burn the wheat. And so what happens when there's revenge? Well, Samson sought the way that pleased him, and the way that pleased him was vengeance. So the old saying is, turnabout's fair play. So what do the Philistines do? They seek revenge on Samson. And so verse 6 says, the Philistines who have done this, and they answered Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion, and the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. You know, sometimes when I'm reading in the scriptures, I just think about how difficult it must have been to live during that time. To live when, you know, death happened. In order to get back at Samson, they're going to burn his wife and her father. Man. But as I thought about this also, I thought about, well, where was Samson? If he was so concerned about his wife, and he was so concerned about him not going to be able to go in unto her that he had to burn down all the wheat, where was he when they come to take his wife? Where was he? Why didn't he defend her then? He should have been there defending his wife. That just shows us that he wasn't really concerned about his wife. He was only concerned about what his wife could give him. But again, we'll notice this cycle. Samson's angry. He seeks revenge on the Philistines. The Philistines are angry. They seek revenge on Samson. So now guess what? Guess what's going to happen? The situation is not going to be resolved. It's only going to get worse. The Philistines are seeking their pleasure, but seeking their pleasure, seeking what pleases them, only causes the situation to get deeper and darker. Listen, seeking revenge, you never resolve anything. It only makes it worse. So what do we see next? Samson seeks his pleasure again. Notice the cycle. Samson seeks revenge on the Philistines. The Philistines seek revenge on Samson. Now Samson's going to seek revenge on the Philistines again. Samson's pleasure, what pleases him, is only going to become darker. He smote them, it says in verse 8, hip and thigh with a great slaughter. When will this situation be resolved? Now, you can think about it in your own life. But when will a situation be resolved? Verse 9 tells us, verse 9 tells us this. The Philistines seek to retaliate. The Philistines seek to retaliate. Verse 9 says, then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they have done to me, so have I done to them. The Philistines seek to retaliate. When someone is seeking revenge or justification, the process will not end until someone is destroyed or someone decides to take a loss. Think about that. You're having difficulties in life with someone, and you just keep getting back at each other. When's that going to stop? When someone's destroyed or someone chooses to take a loss. Self-justification does not make for peace. And you'll say, but I'm right! So? That doesn't make for peace. What is more important? That you're right, or that you make for peace? I have found out in life that it's much better to say I'm sorry than to try to keep on proving that I'm right. I've made a conscious decision in my relationship with Kimberly that there were times, and she'll tell you this, she'll tell you that I was always right. You're never wrong. You're always right. And it caused us a lot of strife. Because she felt like I was always right. And there were times when I thought I was right and I was wrong. But I wouldn't say, I'm sorry. And there were some times when I was right, and I still said I'm sorry. Why? Because it was better for me to have peace with my wife than it was for me to be right. Now, I'm not always perfect in this, but hopefully I've done better, because I don't think she'll tell you anymore that I feel like I'm always right. Maybe she will. I don't know. You'll have to ask her about that. But I've tried to, in our relationship, if there was a strife, if there was something, I've made a conscious decision at a few points, I'm going to take the wrong in this matter. I'm going to say, I'm sorry I was wrong, even if I didn't think I was wrong. Why? Because I wanted to keep the peace. You know, that's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us a few things. Let me share with you a few passages of scriptures. I added these after I had made the PowerPoint. So let's turn to the book of Galatians in chapter number 5. The book of Galatians in chapter number 5. I'm going to read verse 15. And it says this: "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." So Paul's encouraging the Galatians and saying, listen, if you try to bite and devour and try to be right and all of that, what's going to end up happening is you're going to devour one another. So you need to pay attention to your relationships so you're not always biting and fighting and trying to be right. Because if you do, what's going to happen is you're going to destroy your relationships. You're going to devour one another. In a book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 6, we're going to read verses 6 through 8. "But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren." What's he saying? There's a time for you to take the wrong. There's a time for you to be defrauded. If there's a relationship within the church where there's an argument, take the wrong. And I think that bodes well in all kinds of relationships, especially a husband and wife relationship. If you want peace, sometimes take the wrong. Because what's going to happen if you don't? That cycle's never going to end. That cycle of, I got to be right. That cycle of, I got to prove myself right. That cycle of, I'm going to get back at them because of what they did to me. That cycle's never going to end until one of you are destroyed. Or someone decides to take the wrong. Romans 14:19 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherefore one may edify another." In our relationships, every relationship that we have, seek for things that make for peace. Because if you're always seeking revenge, if you're always trying to justify yourself, it's only going to cause bitterness and strife. And that's what's happening here in the book of Judges in chapter number 15. The men of Judah, as we go back to Judges chapter number 15, the men of Judah are so want to have peace that they seek capitulation. We find here that they had become afraid of the Philistines. They don't care about who they are. They don't care about the honor of God. You know, they're the people of God. They're the nation that God has chosen. And they're to have dominion and victory in this land that they're living in. God promised them that they would. But they've allowed the Philistines to come down and oppress them. And instead of living like they should, being the children of God, they've allowed themselves to come underneath the oppression of the Philistines. And the only thing they want to do, Samson, don't you understand who they are? Don't you understand how they are rulers over us? What have you done to us, Samson? They've come down to destroy us. They aren't concerned about honoring God. The only thing they are concerned about is pleasing their captors. They should have been thinking about honoring God with their decisions. I mean, they're going to sacrifice Samson to the Philistines to keep peace. Their judge, their victor, their warrior for them, they're going to sacrifice him to try to keep the Philistines. They're going to sacrifice one of their own people to try to keep peace with the enemy. Do you think that decision honors God? How often do you think about honoring God when you make decisions in life? You have a decision to make. Do you make that decision? And I want to know what honors God. Does this honor God with this decision that I'm going to make? I've heard this about concerning worship, about a preference when it comes to worship. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us how we should worship. It doesn't tell us to sing so many songs. It doesn't tell us the type of songs we ought to sing. It doesn't tell us any of that. Our worship, the Bible doesn't specify. But people have preferences. And people, you got me to do it my way. And if you don't do it this way, then you're wrong. But what if your preference doesn't please God? Well, I think, you know, I ought to do this. Well, what if that decision you're making doesn't please God? What if your decision about participation in the worship service, in studying God's Word, in attending the Lord's house, you say, well, I'm doing what I want to do, and I think this is the way I want to do it. Yeah, but what if that doesn't please God? Your decision that you're making in these areas, what if that doesn't please God? Well, I don't want to go to church today. Well, what if that doesn't please God? Well, I can tell you it doesn't. Well, I don't want to read my Bible. Well, what if that doesn't please God? Well, I don't want to participate in the song service. Well, what if that doesn't please God? How often do you wonder whether your actions please God? The children of Israel in this situation did not care about whether they were pleasing God or not. And this is the reason they found themselves in the circumstances they were in, is because they had not considered whether, should we give Samson to the Philistines or not? God, what do you think about that? They didn't take that into consideration, and they found themselves in a difficult circumstances. What does Samson do? Let's read on. Then the 3,000 men of Judah, this is 11, went to the top of the rock, Etam, and they said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. Notice that thought process. Not pleasing the Lord. He's seeking the way that pleases himself. Not do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but I'm going to do unto them as they have done unto me. That's not the way that pleases God. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands were loose from off his hands, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he made an end of speaking, that he cast the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramoth-Lehi. So what does Samson do? Samson seeks his pleasure again. Nowhere in this passage do you see Samson seeking the way that pleases God. You see Samson living his life, making decisions that pleases him. What about the children of Israel? They do likewise. They are making decisions that please themselves. It's put them in difficult circumstances. And I wonder how many of us live our lives the same way. We seek only the ways that please ourselves. We're not concerned about the ways that please the Lord. You see, Samson is doing what is right in his own eyes. The children of Israel are doing what is right in their own eyes. We're going to find as we continue how much difficulty it gets them into as a nation because they're doing what is right in their own eyes. Like I said last week, the title of the message was The Precursor of Things to Come. We will see that expanded. We will see that their sin grows deeper because they do what they think is right. They forget about the ways of God. And I wonder how many of us fall into the same category. Verse 14, Samson's pleasure is to destroy. What we see in this passage is God is using the actions of men to accomplish His purposes. God can use decisions made in the wrong way for the wrong reasons to accomplish His purposes. Eldersheim, the Jewish historian, says, once more, it was through natural causes, supernaturally overruled and directed, that Samson is now seen to have been the warrior of Jehovah, and Jehovah, the God of the warrior. Samson said, with a jawbone from a donkey, I've made two piles of them. With the jawbone of a donkey, I've killed 1,000 men. Samson's pleasure is revenge and death. So what's God do? The last point is God seeks His pleasure. Verse 18. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall in the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof Enhakkori, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. What's the pleasure of God? Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith it is possible to please God. So what did God do? Samson has this strength. Samson thinks, I've gathered this great victory. I've killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. And Samson's like, yeah! But he's dying of thirst. And he says, what am I going to do, Lord? Am I going to die and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised because I thirst? God says, Samson, I've given you great... I mean, this is implied. This is Mark pondering on this scripture. Samson, I've given you great strength. Samson, I've given you the ability to fight. But Samson, you can't make it without me. Samson is brought to the place where he must have faith. Samson cannot survive without God. So God allows Samson to come to the place where he recognizes that he needs God. He's brought to the place of reliance upon God. God wants his people to understand that they need him. And they cannot survive without him. His pleasure is for you to walk by faith in him. So God brought Samson to the point of death to show him that he needs the Lord. So where will God take you so that you will see that you are nothing without him? There's been plenty of those situations in my life. One of those was bearing children. So many lessons there for Kimberly and I. One of those faith builders and reliance upon God for me was Mark Anthony being sick. I can go into some other things to tell you that some decisions I made whenever I was in my late teens and early 20s, I suffered for them later on because God is teaching me that I need to rely upon Him. You know, the thing with Mark Anthony, one of them was, you know, people that are in the hospital, they're weak. People are sick. What's the matter? Won't they just get over it? What are they so brokenhearted about all that for? God said, all right. You know, I didn't have much compassion for someone in the hospital before. So He said, all right, I'll break your heart over your son and let you see what it's like to have a sick child in the hospital. And so now maybe you might have compassion on others. God allows circumstances to come into our lives to teach us. And I think about this with young people, especially. Think about those that are just becoming adults. And they have not yet learned that the Lord is everything in their life. And they think they can make it on their own. They think they don't need the Lord. And they're going to do fine without Him. And here's what I know. If they are the Lord's, the Lord is going to bring them to the place where they rely upon Him. Where they have no choice but to rely upon Him. And I wonder, where are they going to have to go? What's going to have to happen in their life that they recognize without faith it's impossible to please Him? Without the Lord, I am nothing. I wonder where they're going to go. Here's what I know, that if there's the Lord, He will bring them to that point. And if they're not the Lord's, they'll never be brought to that point. Because without faith, you cannot please the Lord. If you are not walking by faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. And so God brought Samson to the place where he needed to rely upon the Lord. I believe God brings all of us to that place that we have no choice but to cry out upon the name of the Lord. Where will God have to bring you so that you will see that you are nothing without Him? If you're choosing to live in rebellion, whatever type of rebellion that might be, you be careful. God has a purpose for this earth. All things were created by Him and for Him. In creation, we see His wisdom and power. We also see in God's purpose for this earth, God's love for His people. We see the extent of His love by Him sending His Son to die for His people. We see the plan for Him to bring His sheep into the fold. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God working in the lives of Israel to prove His faithfulness to His purpose and to His people. Now the next thing is, are you in His plan? Have you received His purpose? Are you walking in a way that pleases Him? Samson is seeking the way that pleases himself, and it's not working out too well for him. Please don't make that choice to serve yourself. Make the choice to serve the Lord, because He is worthy, because He is the Savior, He is the Creator. We owe our lives to Him. Choose not to serve yourself, but choose to serve the Lord. The benefits are tremendous. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity we had to be in Your house and to learn from Your Word. I pray that You will speak to Your people today as we draw from Your Word. God, I pray that we will honor You for who You are. I pray that we will always seek to please You. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.